We've been giving you little trinkets every time you leave on Sunday, and so I'm just going to see how well you have been paying attention and how well you've been listening. And some of you right now are like, oh, no, I need to go to the bathroom for some reason right now. So we gave you a little book on the very first week, and that habit was what? Some of you are like, let's try one more time. That habit was what? Flip the script, right? Flip the script. If you want to change your life, you have to begin by changing your story. You have to begin by changing that internal narrative that you're telling yourself, and instead of believing the negativity and the things that we believe about ourselves, we have to actually claim the truths, the things that God has called us, and the things that God wants to do in us and through us. That's where it starts. It has to start with that, because if we truly believe that we can't, then we can't. There's absolutely no way to become the man or the woman that God has called you to be if you don't believe that you can actually do that, if you don't believe that God is willing or able or capable to do that in you. So you have to begin by changing the story that you have within you. Then last week, we gave you the wonderful, awesome, and can I tell you, delicious lip butter. I am clearly not a lip butter person. That's not really in my wheelhouse. But I will tell you, those of you that got it, am I wrong? It was good, wasn't it? It was tasty. Some of you, you're like, I tried it, and then my kids stole it from me, and I never saw it again. But the idea of the lip butter was to what? Do you remember what that one is? Kiss the wave. Wow, see, it's closer, so you remember it better. So flip the script, you know, and then kiss the wave. The idea is that those things that tend to wash over us, those things that we initially see as obstacles in the way, actually can become the way, actually can be the way that God is calling to grow us up, to change us, to challenge us, to develop us, to help us to become ready for what's next. So instead of resisting the wave, ride the wave. Learn what God is trying to show you and trying to teach you. And then today, as you leave, you'll be getting this little guy right here. Now, those of you that are my age or older, you probably remember these. Do you remember these? Anybody remember these things? You know what I'm talking about? It's a little frog with a little tab on the back. And so let me just show you how this works and just be prepared, okay? Just like you grab the back of it like this, and that sucker just jumps. Is that awesome or what? No, I need that back, Josh. Can I have that back? Because I'll need that for later. No, okay. So you're all going to get – oh, okay. There. Thanks, Josh. Okay. So, but the reality is that this next habit, if we want to win the day, is about eating the frog. Now you're like, I have no idea what that even means. I have had frog legs. Frog legs are delicious if you've not had them. They're the coolest thing in the world to cook because you throw the frog legs in the pot, and as the water starts to boil, the legs start kicking. It's so cool. But I'm not kidding. Some of you are like, are you serious? Like, yeah, it's tasty stuff. But this concept, this idea comes from a quote from Mark Twain, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. But I just want to, again, just really quickly rehearse, because we're going to talk about seven habits and things that, depending upon the day, and depending on what comes in your day, how to be able to win every single day. And it begins by flipping the script, kissing the wave, and then, of course, eat the frog. So today, I want to begin with something that I think is, I've got my hand up because my hand is up, okay? And I'm gonna just join. But how many of you are by nature procrastinators? Praise the Lord! All right, I am not. Say we. You know what I find is interesting about procrastination? You never procrastinate on the things you like doing. You ever thought about that? Like the things that you love doing, the things that you enjoy, the hobbies that you have fun with, you never procrastinate, you never wait, you never delay the things you actually enjoy doing. And so as I thought about that, I realized that procrastination, the root of procrastination, isn't a time management thing. It's a motivational thing. It's why we're doing what we're doing. And so we look at what we have to do, and we begin to do this mental calculation in our brain. Do I have to do it now? Because those of us that are procrastinators, that is the first question. Do I have to do it? Is it absolutely essential and emergency that I do it now? And if the answer is kind of like those flow charts, right? If yes, you might want to start thinking about doing it. Not do it. You might want to start thinking about doing it. If no, forget about it until somebody reminds you. That's literally the equation that goes on in our brain because we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to mess with it because it's something that we don't enjoy. And so procrastination isn't a time management thing. We're like, hey, we need to figure out how to handle our time better. Procrastination is a motivational thing. So this idea of eat the frog comes from this Mark Twain quote. And it goes like this. If you have to eat a frog, do it first thing in the morning. Now you're like, that is the weirdest thing ever. Well, the quote doesn't end there. It goes on and he says, and if you have to eat two frogs, eat the bigger one first. Now you're like, what in the world? Like, who's eating frogs, first of all? I mean, how hungry do you have to be to eat a whole frog? Now, the frog legs, I'm telling you, are delicious. But a whole frog is kind of nasty. But the idea is it's something that's gross and disgusting, something that you don't want to do. But what we do is if in some way, shape, or form we have to eat a frog, we as procrastinators, we do what? We put it off until it's absolutely necessary to do. And so the idea behind this is instead of putting things off that we don't want to do, we actually begin to do them first. We get them out of the way. We take care of them so that we can enjoy the rest of our day. So the thought process is this. If you have something that you don't enjoy, if you have something that's going to be a difficult task, then do it first thing, because then you can get that task out of the way, you don't have to think about it anymore, and you can just enjoy the rest of your day. Now, you may burp up a little frog later, but you don't have to eat it again. It's over with, and you move on. So that's the idea of procrastination. That's the idea of eat the frog. So, a couple questions. What to-dos are you most tempted to procrastinate with? Think about the to-dos on your list. What are the ones that you are most tempted? Like, you may not always procrastinate, but like when it comes up, the first thought is, do I have to do this now? What are those things that are on your to-do list that you are most tempted to procrastinate with? What are the goals that you have, and maybe you've had them forever? Like, you have had these goals forever. These goals, like, they go back to when you were a teenager or when you were a kid. These goals that you've had forever. You know, maybe it's the idea, I want to write a book, or I want to do this, or I want to learn how to ride a bike, or I don't know, all these goals. But you've never even taken the first step towards actually accomplishing them. But if somebody asks you, what are your goals? You're like, oh, this is my goal. But you're not doing anything today to actually move any closer to that goal. So what are the things you procrastinate on for your to-do list? What are the goals that you've had but you've not taken the first step? What are difficult decisions that you've been putting off? What are some of the difficult decisions that you keep putting off? Because folks, when you begin to create that list, that is your frog. That's your frog. That's the thing that is in your life that you know you're supposed to be doing, that you know you need to be doing, but you don't ever do anything about it. And so the idea is that when you start your day with that. Eat your frog. First thing in the morning, get it over with, move on, and let your day actually move from there. You cannot just hope and pray and worry your way into life's purpose. That rhymed, but I didn't intend it to. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. Every single miracle in the Bible, if you look at every single miracle in the Bible, there's only a handful, only a couple where God goes, listen, I don't want you to do anything. I'm going to just show myself and then you can walk in. The reality is almost every miracle in the Bible takes first a step on our part. And then God does what God does. The idea is, in fact, in the bumper there, it's like, hey, every day you got to get up and you got to do what you're supposed to do. And when you do that, that's when God shows up. That's when God begins to actually work. So here's the big idea for Eat the Frog. If you want God to do the super, you've got to do the natural. If you want God to do the super, you've got to do the natural. Every single time you read through Scripture and you read God doing something amazing, it is almost always, almost exclusively in tandem with a human being doing something in the natural. Now, that doesn't mean that we are limiting God. God can do whatever God wants to do, whenever God wants to do it, however God wants to do it. We believe that in the sovereignty of God and how that works. We totally believe that. But there is something unique in the way that God loves to work in humankind. He loves to work in concert with us. In fact, it's interesting when Jesus Christ comes, and of course we know that Jesus Christ was the image of the invisible God. He's like, this is what God is like. It is me. He and I are one. And he makes this comment. He says, come to me, all those of you who are weary and heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Notice it doesn't say, I'll take your burden. Don't worry about it. You just go through life happy, happy. He says, take my yoke. Let me share the burden with you. You see, the reality is that as we walk with Jesus Christ, it is not us doing whatever we want to and then God fixes everything. It's God saying, I want you to live in this way, and as you live in this way, I'm going to show up and I'm going to show off. Because if you want God to do the super, you've got to be willing to do the natural. Now, I'm going to give you two very important words, okay? Consistency and repetition. Consistency and repetition. Now, I will be very transparent with you today because this is probably one of the things, of the seven, this is probably the one I struggle with the most. I'm not going to lie. This is probably the one I struggle with the most. I don't like routine. I don't like rhythm. I like doing things when it feels right, the way to do it. And that's just, it's kind of how I do things. But there are certain things I'm like, don't change that because, you know, we all have our things, right? But consistency and repetition are really powerful when it comes to being able to actually achieve things. And the truth is, consistency and consistency and repetition will be opportunity, talent, every single day of the week. Every single day of the week. It's never the most good-looking guy or the most good-looking girl or the smartest kid or the guy that's got the most talent or the girl that's got the most connections. It's never in the long run those people that make a difference in the world. Think about the people that truly make a difference in the world. Now, yeah, they may be smart and they may be intelligent and they may have good connections, but that's not what made them, give them the ability to change the world. You look at their schedules, and you're like, oh my word, that's insane. Some of these people that are really high up in their areas and the things that they do, and they write these books, right? Like, this is what I do, and you're like, you get 4 hours of sleep a night? What is wrong with you? What kind of pills are you taking to be able to do that? You know, how much coffee are you drinking? Like, do you have an IV hooked up so it kicks on at 4 o'clock in the morning so you wake up? Because, listen, for the longest time, I thought 4 o'clock only came once a day. Like, literally, and it's 4 p.m., not a.m. And then we had kids, and then it all changed. But the truth is that it's consistency and repetition. It's about doing the small things right. It's about doing those things over and over and over and over again, the same way at the same time. Because doing great things rarely starts with doing great things. Think about it. Doing great things rarely starts with doing great things. It starts with doing the small things. Excellent isn't exceptional, it's mundane. It's boring. It is deliberate. It's doing the same thing in the same way at the same time every day. And I will tell you, as I say those words, it crushes my soul. I'm not gonna lie. Because I am not that type of person, and I get it, but here's the thing. I know this is true. Because when you get things in order in your life and you begin to do them consistently over and over, it's amazing how the little things that you do compound into creating a big result. And so what do? Whatever that frog is for you, whatever that thing is, like, I know I need to do it, but I don't want to do it, or I don't have the motivation to do it. You need to begin to eat your frog. And so I'm going to tell you how to do it, okay? First, you start with a knife. No, I'm just kidding. How to eat the frog? Well, you begin the night before. You begin the night before. It's really interesting. We in, the Western culture, the Western civilization, we have accepted the mindset that the day begins at sunrise. But if we look at Scripture and if we look at how God set up the Jewish culture, it did not start at daybreak. Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, God is creating everything, and he's creating time. And I want you to notice the way and the pattern in which God describes the first day. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was what? And then the first day. Notice it doesn't say morning and then evening. Because evening, or sunset, according to a Jewish calendar and the Jewish way of thinking, sunset is the beginning of a new day. And see, if we can grasp this concept, if we can, as individuals, in modern day culture, in the Western civilization, if we can begin to grasp this idea that the next day doesn't start the next morning or even at midnight, it starts at sunset the day before, then we realize that our evening routine is actually the beginning of our day. Now, how many of you would call yourselves morning people? I know there are some in my family, right? Okay, cool, cool. I'm not a morning person. Now, here's what's interesting. Most of you that are morning people are married to people like me. I'm a night owl. How many of you are night owls? Okay, cool. All right, there's just, I don't know why. God has a sick sense of humor. I don't know why he does that. But like literally, I wake up in the morning and I need at least a cup of coffee before anyone talks to me. I'm just like, hey, listen, cup of coffee. And that sometimes my beautiful wife, she like doesn't get a lot of sleep. Sometimes she'll wake up in the morning and be like awake, and she'll be sitting on the couch. And I know it's going to be a rough day because I'll come walking out of the bedroom and she's like, good morning. All right, I got a couple of things I've been thinking about all night long. And here's what I'm like, I haven't even got my coffee yet. But here's the thing. When we get this concept, we realize that we have a lot more control over our morning than we thought we did. Because if you want to get up early in the morning, you don't go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. You go to bed earlier. If you want to actually get a good night's sleep, you actually get yourself set up to have a good night's sleep. And there are studies upon studies. If you're like, how do I have a good night's sleep? Listen, just Google that, and you'll have about 10,000 pages of information. And you know what's crazy? The very simple routine of getting a good night's sleep is almost foreign. It's almost a foreign concept to us. Now, we all know. We all would. If I said, hey, what's the average night's sleep that an adult should get? All of you would say, well, it's like 7 to 8 hours. In fact, the minimum that an adult should get is 7 hours. Do you know what the average night's sleep is for the average adult in America? 6.8. On average, we're below the bare minimum, which means there's a lot of you that are like all day long because you didn't get any sleep, right? Like 4 hours. Now, sometimes that happens. If you've got little kids, that happens. But the reality is that you can set yourself up for the very first, most important thing, and that is getting a good night's sleep. Like, how is that spiritual? Well, because, quite frankly, many of you make unspiritual decisions when you've not gotten enough sleep. Can we agree? Right? You are cranky. You are irritated. You are not, it's not a good thing. And God has created us to be able to actually get a good night's sleep. It's really interesting. Rabbinical teaching, they take this and they weave this unbelievable, beautiful understanding of the idea of darkness being the beginning of light. And they say, you know, that God took creation and he brought order out of chaos because there was nothing and everything was all over the place. And God took that chaos and he created something beautiful out of it. And so the idea, in fact, the Hebrew word for darkness is fading into obscurity. That's what that word means. To put it in a more simple way for us to understand, as the light begins to fade, things become less clear, right? And in fact, not only do they become less clear, they turn into like clearly defined things more like in the blobs, and they merge together. And that's often how we feel about our life. We can't see clearly. And so in Jewish tradition, what they say is, listen, as the sunset goes down, begin to pray that God will bring order out of your chaos and help you see things more clearly. So let me challenge you with this. Again, a good night's sleep is really important. I would encourage you to do that. But let me just put this like little thing. Whether it's before you set your alarm, or right after you set your alarm, or whether you throw your PJs on, or whether you, you know, like you're getting yourself tucked into bed, and before you're putting your earplugs in and your mask on, or your noise on your phone, or whatever it is that you do before you go, okay, it's time to go to sleep, I would challenge you every night to pause for just a moment and thank God for the day that you just had, and ask God to give you guidance in the day that is beginning as you go to sleep. Start your day by talking to the God who has the ability to change your day. Start by doing that. So here's the second thing. Start the night before. Here's the second thing, all right? Start your day with a win. Start your day with a win. I'm not going to ask how many of you feel like winners and how many feel like losers, because that, honestly, that can go from moment to moment, right? But the idea here is you start your day with something that you can control so that you start your day off on a positive note. Back in 2014, the University of Texas asked one of their esteemed alumni, Admiral William McRaven, to give the commencement address. Admiral McRaven was a former Navy SEAL officer, and at that point in time, he was the ninth commander of the United States Special Forces, so the Spec Ops. Like, he was the guy that knows all, like, the stuff that's going on in the Navy SEALs and Bin Laden and all. That was this guy, right? This is what he did. And his speech was received so well that the University of Texas uploaded it to YouTube. It's actually there. And as of this week, it has been viewed over 34 million times. It has been dubbed one of the greatest contemporary motivational speeches in the last 100 years. That's how good it was. And what makes his speech so unique is not the unique details, it's not the different things, it's the simplicity of it. It's the simple things that he talks about and the things that he learned. He gives 10 different points, but I want to just share with you the very first point. The very first thing, in fact, it was so powerful, it was turned into a best-selling, New York Times best-selling book called, I'll give you the title here in just a minute. Let's go ahead and watch that.
Every morning in SEAL training, my instructors, who at the time were all Vietnam veterans, would show up in my barracks room, and the first thing they'd do was inspect my bed. If you did it right, the corners would be square, the covers would be pulled tight, the pillow centered just under the headboard, and the extra blanket folded neatly at the foot of the rack. It was a simple task, mundane at best, but every morning we were required to make our bed to perfection. It seemed a little ridiculous at the time, particularly in light of the fact that we were aspiring to be real warriors, tough, battle-hardened SEALs. But the wisdom of this simple act has been proven to me many times over. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that is made, that you made. And a made bed gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better.
The book was entitled, If You Want to Change the World, Start by Making Your Bed. Now, full disclosure, I don't make my bed. Those of you that are bed makers, awesome, more power to you, that's fantastic. The idea is, listen, start your day with something small. Something that you can be successful with. Something that you can check off your list and go, man, I have started my day with a win. If you want to win the day, start it off with a win. If you want to win the day and you want to actually become all that God's called you to be, then start it by doing something that you can control. Psalm 5, verse 3 says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait expectantly. My challenge to you would be to do this, that right after you smash your alarm into oblivion because it went off, maybe before you strip off your PJs or as you step into the hot, warm, full-pressured shower, praise Jesus, you take a moment and you thank God for the night's sleep that he just gave you, and you ask for guidance in the day that is beginning. One of the greatest prayer warriors in the entirety of Scripture is a guy named Daniel. Are you familiar with him? Daniel in the lion's den. Before the lion's den, there was something that Daniel would do every single day. And in fact, the Bible said he would do it three times a day. That he would pray to God, he would go to his house, he would open the windows that faced Jerusalem, and he would pray three times a day, asking for God's wisdom and guidance and thanking him for everything that he had done. If you end your day or you begin your day the night before with prayer and you begin your morning with prayer, then all you got to do is pray one more time throughout the day and you've got the same prayer life as Daniel. You go, well, praying's hard for me. Think about that, though. If you do those two things, those bookends, and then you pray at lunchtime, you pray while you're driving in. You pray while you're going somewhere, or walking somewhere. And again, we think this idea of prayer has to be this, Lord, Father, hallowed be thy name. It's not. It's God. I'm going in this meeting. God, I've got this thing I have to think about. God, would you give me guidance on this? God, would you help me with this? It is literally a conversation that you have with your loving heavenly Father. And here's the thing. The reason that the mouths of the lions were shut and the reason that Daniel had the patience and the strength and the ability and the faith to be able to go in there and go, don't worry, my God will protect me. And if he doesn't, God's still God. It wasn't because of all these big grand things that Daniel did. It was three times a day connecting with God. Eat your frog. Eat your frog. Number three, start your day with a win. Begin your day the night before. Control what you can. All right, a little more audience participation here. Honest moment for everyone, okay? Deep breath, here we go, ready? How many of you would say right now, there is something in your life? And I know for you control freaks, this is going to be hard to admit, beyond your control. There's something beyond. By the way, all of your hands should be up. If you're not, you're a control freak, okay? Let's just be honest with that. There's a lot of crap that's beyond your control. And here's the thing. We spend inordinately more energy on the stuff that we can't control than we do on what we can. So part of eating the frog is control what you can. We all have all these different things that are beyond our control. But we have few things that we actually control. For example, and I know those of you, we've had conversations and we talk about this and we think we can solve the world's problems and we can solve the world's economy, right? We can fix it all. You can't. I can't. But you know what you can control? Whether or not you buy a $7 latte today. You can control that. You may not be able to control the traffic on your way to work, but you can control how you react to it. You can't control how your day will turn out, but you can control how you start your day. You can control what you do. So one last little tidbit for you. The thing that you have the most control over, the thing that you absolutely have the ability to say what will or will not happen is your own body. Your body. It's yours. You do with it what you want. You have all this ability to control, and we tend to invest the least amount of energy in the thing that we can control the most, and that is us. Look at what Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Here's a guy that loved Jesus. He'd spent the rest of his life after he'd accepted Jesus Christ, literally traveling the world, establishing churches, changing lives, all this stuff. And he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, instead, I discipline my body and I bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. He knows something that you and I need to realize today. Your body is not your friend. Do you know that? Your body's not your friend. Like, well, what do you mean by that, Dave? Well, let me just put it to you this way. You think to yourself, I'm going to start getting up early. Your alarm goes off, and what does your body say? Dave. Well, your body wouldn't say Dave, but it's so warm under these covers. It's cold out there. I'm pretty sure it's raining. Listen, the devil only works in the dark, Dave. Just just sleep another 15 minutes. And another 15 minutes turns into a half hour. And then you're like, man, I'm getting up later than I was before. Because your body is not your friend. You try to work out and you go, I'm going to lift some weights. And you go and you lift some weights. And the next morning your body goes, I told you you shouldn't have lifted those weights. Because you can't pick your nose. Not that you should pick your nose, but you know what I mean. Your body is not your friend, and what's crazy about it is that you begin to actually try to make these changes, or maybe you're even sitting there going, okay, I know the frog that I need to eat, and your body is beginning to react to you. It's beginning to sweat. Your body's starting to churn. Your stomach's starting to churn, and anxiety's starting to pick up inside you because you know it's the right thing to do, and your body's like, oh, no. And then what? Here's what happens. Your body starts to bully you, right? Because your mind jumps in on the game. And it goes, listen, Dave, you're not going to be able to accomplish that. You shouldn't try, because here's the thing. If you try and you fail, then people are going to make fun of you. It's going to be all over Facebook. People are going to talk about it. And then as your mind and your body have teamed up, then your emotions kicks you right in the gut and jumps on the pile and says, oh, you need to be afraid of this. You need to fear this, and brings every single thing. Your body is not your friend. And the sooner that you realize that you have control over your body and you can control what it does or does not do, and literally take the words of Paul and you make it your slave. No, I am going to do what I know that I need to do, because you got to control what you can. And one of the things that you can control the most is your body. So control what you actually can. Because if you want God to do the super, you've got to do the natural. Last thing for how to eat the frog. Leverage your rituals. Leverage your rituals. If you look this up, this is called habit stacking or habit combining or finding your rhythm or finding your routine or all these different things, all these different ways that people talk about it. I'll give you how I've applied it in my life. I drive about 22 minutes to and from the church office every single day. That's about 45 minutes that I am by myself in my truck. And for the longest time, up until just a couple months ago, I would turn on, usually in the morning, 1070 The Fan, and in the afternoon, 1070 The Fan, and I would listen to the sports stuff, and I would listen to it, I'd laugh, and it just kind of go brain dead, you know, for that 45 minutes. And every single day I drive that amount of time, right? And so it's literally hours every single week that I am spending driving in a vehicle, brain dead, not doing anything. And so I began to realize I could actually take that ritual, that pattern, that rhythm, that routine, and I could actually put something with it, and I can combine it or stack another habit on top of that. So now, instead of just being brain dead and listening to that, I spend that time either praying or listening to a podcast or listening to an audiobook or something like that that actually is combining and helping me. And now my drive is actually more enjoyable, and I'm getting more out of it. I'm not just maximizing that time, I'm also maximizing the impact, because that doesn't just change me now, it changes all of my relationships, it changes my leadership, it changes how I teach, it changes how I think, it changes all of those things. So that little moment of taking something that was completely bland and natural, but it's already cut out of my day, but combining something with it that actually makes a difference, actually became something incredibly powerful in my life. Now you're like, well, I don't have the money to buy audiobooks. Well, there's this really cool thing, it's called the library. It's brand new. It's awesome. And they have this app. And if you live in Johnson County, you can actually get a library card for free. And then you can download this app. It's called Hoopla. H-O-O-P-L-A. And you can download audiobooks for free and listen to them. Or there's this cool app, you're like, well, I always wanted to read my Bible. It's called YouVersion. It will read the Bible to you. You can pick like British, or you can pick, it's awesome. Just read it to you. Let me give you another one. I love coffee. And one of the habits, one of the things I've combined with my drinking of coffee is reading scripture. Because there's something cool about drinking God's wonderful beverage of caffeination and reading the words of God. It makes both of them that much more enjoyable. Mark Batterson comes up with, the guy that wrote the book, How to Win Today, he comes up with this interesting equation. And it's Holy Spirit plus caffeine equals awesome. So if you're like, listen, I always have a morning cup of coffee. Okay, combine that with reading. Combine that with talking to God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. This isn't a new thing, by the way. God is actually doing habit stacking here when he's talking about how to teach their kids. He says, listen, these words I've commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. And what God is saying is, listen, you're going to be sitting in your house anyways. You're going to be sitting around probably having dinner anyways. Use that time to talk about God. Y'all are getting in your car, and you're driving somewhere with your kids in the back seat, and they're listening to some inane song that just repeats itself over and over. It's some high-pitched, helium-filled voice that's driving you absolutely crazy. Choose that time instead to talk to them about who God is. So it's this idea of habit stacking, of putting these things together, something that you're already doing with something that you want to do, and combining those two things together, it makes it that much more impactful and important and maximizing in your life. So what rituals, what routines do you currently have in your life that you can leverage another habit into so that you're managing time and maximizing the impact at its best ability? So leverage your results, leverage your rituals, because if you want God to do the super, you've got to do the natural. One last thing, and it's going to be quick, I promise. I doubt that any one of you would say goals are unimportant. I think we all understand the importance and the necessity of goals. Even if you don't write them down, even if you don't spend time thinking about them, even if you don't do any calculation of trying to figure out what you can and can't do, you have goals. Sometimes they're as simple as just go and make it through the day. We all have goals. We understand how important they are. And I think you'd all agree that there are a lot more important things in our lives than what we tend to make time for. There are a lot of things in our lives that scream at us, and they are urgent, but they aren't actually important. That's what Eat the Frog is all about, is learning how to elevate the important above the urgent, making it first, making it a priority, doing it before your day spins out of control and you go, well, I just don't have the time to do that. You go, well, how do you do that? Three very simple things. Number one, create a stop doing list. Create a stop doing list. Not a to-do list. Create a stop doing list. Look at your life, look at your routines, look at the things that are wasting time. Now, I will tell you, this is not a hard one. Most of you can regain about an hour and a half every single day if you would stop doing this. Literally. So calculate or create a stop doing less. The second, calculate your ROI. You know what ROI is? Return on investment. Right? Return on investment. What is your ROI? Think about the things that you're doing, okay? There's going to be a stop doing list, right? Things you go like, this is stupid. I just need to stop doing this. I'm wasting time here. I'm wasting energy. I'm wasting all of these things. I need to stop doing this. But then there are things you're like, okay, this is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but is it the best thing? What's the return on the investment? You're like, well, I'm spending time doing this. It's like the old thing, right? You can do it yourself, and it'll take you an hour to do it, and it may take you 3 hours to train somebody, but then you never have to do it again. And so the short term, it may be faster for you to do it, but the long term, it actually creates time for you. So what's the return on the investment? So don't just create a stop doing list. Don't just calculate your ROI. But the last one, cultivate healthy boundaries. I'm going to help you right now. Are you ready? I have no idea what you're about to do, so I'm not going to say yes. Let's try one more time. Are you ready? What's the opposite of yes? There you go. Create healthy boundaries. No, I can't do that. I'm sorry. I would love to do that, but I can't do that. No, I'm sorry. Now, don't be a jerk, right? Some of you have known jerks like that, right? Like, well, I've just decided to not do anything anymore. You're a jerk. Not only that, you're a selfish jerk. Right? Can we agree? Some of you are like, I don't know. I don't think. Yeah, okay, we can, right? Because life isn't just about you. It's about how God has called you to be used. And the things that are outside what God has called you to use, you've got to create healthy boundaries. And that begins by being able to say no. Because every time you say no to one thing, you're saying yes to another. And every time you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to another. So folks, I don't know what your frog is. And the reality is we all have different frogs. Some of you may have teeny tiny little frogs like this. You're like, okay, I can plug my nose and I can just down it in one gulp. Some of you may have like that toad that they found in Africa that was like 45 pounds. Did you see that recently? You're like, yeah, that's my frog right there. I'm going to have to figure out how to, I don't know. But begin to change how you live each day. Because it begins by learning how to eat your frog. Father God, we thank you so much. We know that your word has so much truth available for us. And it's not just about the spiritual in the way that we think, because the reality is that the spiritual impacts every single part of our life. It's who we are. God, once we know you, once we accept you as our Savior, it transitions everything in our life to being something that is a part of the supernatural. It's a part of how you're working and what you're doing. And so, God, today, I pray that for each and every one of us, we would be kind of poked right in between the eyes with what our frog is. That thing that we know we're supposed to be doing, that thing we know we're supposed to be putting as a part of our life, that thing we know we need to start developing, the small habits, the small things to become that man or that woman that you've called us to be. But God, we never seem to quote-unquote find time because we're unwilling to start our day to do the things that we need to do. So God, this morning, whatever that thing is, I pray that we would each make the commitment and realize that, God, you have so much more in store for each and every one of us. To change us, to transform us, to grow us, to help us become the men and women you've called us to be. But, God, if we want you to do the super, we've got to do the natural. And so, God, today, help us be present in our moment. Help us do what we need to do so that you'll show up. You'll show off. And we thank you for that, God. We pray this in Jesus' name.